You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today on Monday, September 20th, where for some reason it got up to 99 degrees outside today, at least according to my weather app, which is just downright untenable, but also very September in Texas, not just September in Texas, but late September in Texas. Your Rangers, they're 55-94, six losses away from a 100-loss season, first time they've had that in at least this century. It's been quite a minute, but right now they're in line for the third pick in the draft. They have 13 games left, so if they go under 500, actually even if they don't go two games above or a game and a half, I guess, above 500 at this point, then they're going to have 100 losses, which, you know, seemed likely at the beginning of this season. They are also eight games out of the first pick and seven games out of the second pick. They passed the Pirates since the last recording of this podcast. They are now a game and a half ahead of the Pirates for the fourth pick. They're not going to fall the fifth. That's pretty much already assured. So it's looking like they're going to get three or four, unless they just lose every single one of them games. And that would be, you know, kind of funny, but also kind of fitting and, you know, a little sad. 13 game losing streak to end the season. I guess it'd be 14 because they lost on Sunday. But yeah, that would not be really what I am going for this team, but you know, it's not up to me. It's not up to me, but there was some important stuff that happened this weekend. First of all, Willie Calhoun, he's back. He is back and, you know, he looked all right. I am glad to have him back. I thought that he's going to be done for the season. I thought there was some question about if he's going to be around next year, which is wild. It's kind of wild that, that he, you know, is back this season. I thought that they would be making a decision on his long-term viability for the position. It was kind of wild that I felt like they're going to have to make a decision on him because he is only 26, but he's been with the Rangers for so long. I know it doesn't feel like that long because it's been cut short with injuries. He's only played 224 games with the Rangers, but he's been here since 2017, only played 13 games that year, 35 the next year, 83 the year after that, 29 last year and 64 this year, which was set to be the most, but you know, again, injuries happen. So, but he's looked, well, going back to his games before he got hurt, he looked really solid. But in his last three games against the White Sox, he went 0-for-4 on the Friday game, went 1-for-1 with a walk on the 18th. And on Sunday, he went 2-for-4. So good to see him get a multi-hit game. Still not a lot of home runs this year. Only five home runs in 222 at-bats. That is not enough for a guy who is an offense-first guy. And, you know, Grant and I talked a little bit earlier in the season about how he's kind of – he was kind of a little bit of, you know, I hate using this term, but an alpha, which is so stupid. But just a me-first guy, a very bravado-y kind of guy. A guy who had just the utmost confidence in himself to a point where it seemed super arrogant. And, you know, the Rangers kind of changed him a little bit. You know, he is now less arrogant, which kind of happens when you get older and when you get knocked back a peg or two. It's just what kind of happens. But it kind of reminds me of a recent episode of Ted Lasso, which, you know, if you want to avoid spoilers, this is a couple of episodes ago, so spoiler alert, I guess. But Jamie Tart, who is this, if you haven't watched it, Jamie Tart is this star player who is just a real, real a-hole. And Ted Lasso is this very wholesome coach. Kind of reminds me a little bit similar vibes of Chris Woodward. Even Evan Grant said that as well after watching Ted Lasso. But anyway, Jamie Tart goes away, is not with the team, and, you know, is kind of a D-bag, and then his career falls off the rails. Anyway, he comes back to Ted Lasso and is like, hey, I want to come back and be a part of the team. And basically when he comes back, he's less of an a-hole, less of a diva, more of a good teammate, which in theory sounds really good, right? But his coach, Roy Kent, who is his former teammate the season before, says, you know, I'm not coaching you because you don't deserve it. And, you know, you have gone away from what made you successful. Like, yeah, you were kind of a prick. You were kind of an a-hole, kind of a D-bag. And that allowed you to be really, really great at your sport and score a bunch of goals and, you know, piss the other team off and get in their heads. And, you know, on the field, that's good. You don't need to do that all the time, but sometimes you do need to do that because that's what makes you an amazing player. And you haven't been that because you've been so nice and wholesome and, you know, being a better person, which is great. But like, sometimes you need to bring that back. And like, I'll let you know when to do that. And I think that might've happened a little bit with Willie Calhoun. He might've been, you know, that star guy who told people his position when they asked him, what position did he play? He said, I play three hole hitter, which is just a, you know, freaking amazing line from a prospect and a guy who raked at the level that he did. So maybe he needs to watch that episode of Ted Lasso and, you know, get a little bit of that, you know, star player FU attitude back and just start absolutely raking again, and be mad at the world and think you're better than everybody else. Cause you know, you got the potential to be better than everybody else. So I don't know. I think he's definitely with the team next year. There's not anybody that stands out as like, oh, they got to go get this guy a bunch of reps in left field at the major league level. Like they tried that with David Dahl and with K. Chris Davis, and that didn't work out. So you still got Willie Calhoun under contract for, what is it? Two more years, I believe. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. I think they've got next year and the year after, arbitration control over him. So he's not going to go anywhere unless you just straight up cut him loose, which I don't think is a wise move because he's got a lot of potential in there. Whether he's lived up to it has just been a matter of, you know, staying healthy. You can just get him healthy. Please just get Willie Calhoun healthy. Give him a healthy off season. Give him time to go work out and, you know, prepare for a season like a normal season would. And, you know, once he gets back and just, please God, let him be healthy for one full season. Just these random things that keep popping up, you know, whether it's getting hit in the face with a pitch or a hamstring injury, even once he got back from getting hit in the face with a pitch last year, and then another injury this year. It's just, he has been just the unluckiest guy and he deserves a shot. And every time he's about to get his full shot, something stupid happens to him and it sucks. And he's a great dude and he's got a lot of potential to be a freaking amazing major league hitter. But he just hasn't quite gotten that shot just yet. And I think it's worth it to give him the opportunity. We're going to see what he looks like for the rest of the season. Obviously, I think he's going to start most games, which is good. He should. He deserves that chance. And him just being able to be back and healthy on a baseball field is a great thing to see. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. Because another guy who is definitely going to, I think, earn a roster spot next year. I'm not sure what position he's going to play is Andy Ibañez, who is also coming back from injury. Glad that he is back. The guy was absolutely just destroying baseballs in the games before he was, you know, injured with a hamstring injury, which you got to be really careful with those. He hasn't played too many games since coming back. I believe just three games so far, maybe a few more than that. But his last three games, anyway, he went 0-for-2 with a walk and a strikeout against Houston on August 28th. And then against the White Sox, he went 2-for-4 with a strikeout and a run on September 18th. And so it is just two games. Okay. All right. I don't know. They've got the numbers for the dates backwards on MLB.com. They just changed everything and it's throwing me off my game. So anyway, he had a two-hit game in his first game back against the White Sox. And then on the next day, he went 0-for-3 with a walk, no strikeouts because he does not strike out very much. But in case you forgot how well he was doing the last few games before he got hurt, he had that multi-game, multi-hit streak, which was impressive. I believe his hit streak was at, I believe it was 12 games, and I think half of those he had multiple hits in. He is absolutely stinging the baseball, not hitting as many home runs as I would like him to, but, you know, that's okay when you're not striking out barely any. He's walking more, which I love. I absolutely love that for him. His last seven games, for reference, he's hitting .407. .467 on base, slugging .593. Yeah, that's super impressive. Like, all right, it's a seven game stretch. That's a small sample size. Okay, you want a bigger stretch? Let's go to 15 games. That's 53 at bats. He's got two home runs in that span, four walks, eight strikeouts. That's solid numbers. Hitting .434 on base of .473, slugging .670. That is an OPS of around 1140, I believe. if my math is correct. It's over 1,100. That part of my math is correct. The guy has been absolutely raking. And if you look at the last 30 games, even, he had a really, really, really rough stretch to start the season. So his overall numbers don't look as impressive. Right now, his on base is at 306 for the season, slugging 411. OPS, that's 717, not 417. That'd be really bad. But 717. So yeah, he's played in 64 games so far, that just over 200 at bats. He's got 6 home runs, 11 doubles, a triple, 12 walks, 29 strikeouts. Overall solid numbers, and I've really liked what I've seen from him. I always knew he could hit. That was never a question. The power, I thought, was not quite as much. The doubles power he's showing is really, making him look like a worthwhile invested in a roster spot next year. But I'm going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more about Andy Ibañez, what I think he's going to do next year, and, where he can crack a roster spot, if not an everyday starting spot, next year. Right to this word from sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Today's episode is brought to you by GetUpside Script. Hey, Rangers fans, this is Bryce Patrick with an incredible app for everyone who buys gas. Everyone, they need to know about GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or on Google Play right now. Use promo code baseball and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That is 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Go just download the app, use the free. For free, use the promo code baseball to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app. Use promo code baseball to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code baseball. Now let's look a little bit at what Andy Ibañez has been doing. We talked a little bit about how well he'd been hitting as of late. Really solid performance for him in the last 30 games is when he's really started to find his footing, and I've really liked seeing what he's been doing. In especially the month of August, he was absolutely killing it. That was a 25 game stretch where he had four home runs. He walked three times, struck out 13, had a triple slash line of 310, 348, 517. Yeah, him slugging 500 for a month was really nice. But the month of May was really, really rough on him. He played in 9 games, had an OPS of 364. That was really his worst month. The next month wasn't super great either. Had a 591 OPS in 8 games. That is 30 at bat stretch in the month of June. July, he started to figure out a little bit more, still had an OPS under 700, but the month of August has really been much better to him. He's only played in 2 games in September. We'll see how many at bats he gets, because he's playing a lot of third base and second base and DH. So a lot of interchanging him, Nick Solak and Yonny Hernandez, to see who ends up getting a job next year. But I think his bat is loud enough to warrant a roster spot next year. Maybe not an everyday starting spot. It all depends on how Nick Solak does. In his last 15 games, Nick Solak has not been doing well. He doesn't have a home run in a 51 at bat stretch, but I think that includes a little bit of his time before getting called back up. In his last 7 games, he has not done well at all. Has an on base of 240, slugging 176. He's looking like he has regressed back to the form that got him relegated to AAA, which is upsetting and concerning. He still only has 11 home runs this year. I believe he's only hit one since coming back from AAA. It's not looking like that did all that much to, you know, give him the break that he needed. Maybe he needs a whole offseason to get that. I don't know. But we'll see what happens with that. And I haven't been super duper impressed with Yohan Hernandez. He's been fine. He's been solid. Plays a bunch of different positions. I trust him to play backup shortstop more than I do Nick Solak or Andy Ibañez. But he just doesn't hit for power. The on base is there, and that's solid. And there's just a certain level of ceiling. He still didn't have a home run in 33 games at the major league level. Only has three doubles, no triples. So really not a great slugging percentage there. Through 112 at-bats in his major league career, he's batting 250, slugging 277. That is not great. The on-base is 351. That's solid. That's really good. I like that. But if you're a guy who is not going to hit for power, there's just a certain level of upside. He's got 14 walks to 21 strikeouts. That's a pretty good rate. Stolen 9 bases, only been caught once. Also solid. I like that he's a pest on the base paths. Pretty solid defensively. Nothing, you know, outlandish. But if you don't hit for power, then it's just a certain level of ceiling on you. And, you know, granted, Andy Ibañez doesn't hit for a ton of power. He does hit for a ton of doubles power. And I know he's got the raw power to hit some home runs in there. But it's just a matter of whether he can show it consistently or not. That month of August was fantastic, but again, it was just a month. It was just a, you know, 25 game stretch, which is not nothing. But it was only 87 at bats. So it's not everything. And I don't know. We'll see where it goes from there. But I think Andy Ibañez has done the most, him or Yohan Hernandez. I love Nick Solak, but he just has not shown nearly enough this year. And he's really fallen off, and he's not going to hit for power. Defense has gotten better. He is aggressive on the base paths. But I think Yohan Hernandez and Andy Ibañez offer more as an everyday starter. I think if he's got an option left, I'd probably option him to AAA to start next year. Nick Solak, that is, because I just haven't seen all that much from him. But I'm going to take another quick break and come back. I'm going to look a little bit at this weekend's games. Some weird things going on from this one, and a special look at some starting pitcher struggles coming up right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? Of course you do. You've been listening to this podcast for a while, or if you haven't, welcome to this podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about baseball and also how great Built Bar is. You know, there's something for absolutely everybody. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the flavors, well, you're missing out. There's Cherry Barcia, Raspberry, Mint Brownie, Double Chocolate, Salted Caramel, Strawberry, Cookies and Cream, German Chocolate, Orange, Strawberry. There's just everything. It's so good. They're fantastic. They are delicious. You know, if you haven't tried it, you could try any of the flavors, or all the flavors, I should say. You can get a mixed box. You'll get two of each of the 9 different flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting, they're also healthy as well. There's 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. All the flavors are amazing, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and you can get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry, or, you know, whichever one you like. And by the way, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Isn't that pretty cool? So our listeners, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So let's look quickly at the Friday night game. This was not a great game for the Rangers. They lost 8-0 to the Chicago White Sox, which, you know, is about as expected. Offensively, nothing super memorable, incredible, nothing. Nobody had that great a game, a multi-hit game for Leody Taveras and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. That was solid. A really bad game for Adolis Garcia. Had a 4 strikeout game, went 0-5, left 5 on base. Yeah, not a great night for him. Nobody else had a multi-hit game. Nobody even had a double. No one had any extra base hits. Nobody stole a base. Just a whole lot of nothing, to be quite honest. Dylan Cease looked incredible. Went 5 shutout innings against the Rangers. Struck out 10. Just, wow. He looked really stinking good. The rest of their bullpen was really solid. Bummer, Burr, Ruiz, and Fry. All of them were able to work scoreless innings, obviously because the Rangers did not score. So you know, everybody who pitched worked a scoreless inning. Taylor Earn had his worst start as a Ranger. I had concerns. My only concern with him was that he wasn't striking out enough people, which, you know, that was because everyone was trying to jump on his fastball early. He was giving up too many home runs. Well, he had more strikeouts than innings pitched. He worked 3 1/3 innings, struck out 4, didn't give up any home runs. But he also walked 3, which is has been very uncharacteristic of what he's done as a starter. He's not walked that many people. He did struggle with that a little bit earlier in the season as a reliever, but he's gotten that better under control until this last start. Not only did he walk a bunch of people, they were also getting a bunch of hits off of him. 8 hits, 7 runs, all of those were earned, but no home runs, so that was nice. Then in comes Spencer Patton, who also got touched for a run, which, you know, happens. Joe Barlow came in and pitched an inning. I don't really know why he pitched an inning in a game the Rangers were losing 8-0, but, you know, c'est la vie. So that is the only thing worth noting there. It was eventually going to happen that Taylor Hearn was going to get shellacked a little bit. This is a bunch of strong right-handed hitters in this lineup. So, you know, if he's going to get shellacked by somebody, then it's going to be the Chicago White Sox. They have a really good team, really good lineup. Tim Anderson is really stinking good. Luis Robert is super, super good. Jose Abreu, Yasmani Grandal, Eloy Jimenez, Yoel Mancata. Like, this lineup is stacked from top to bottom. I guess top to like 6, the 7, 8, and 9 are, they're fine. But, you know, when the rest of your team is so stinking good, it doesn't really matter. Now let's look at Saturday's game real quick. Spencer Howard, I think this might've been his best performance of the season. I didn't love the walks again. But you know, 3 innings of shutout baseball, 3 strikeouts, only allowed 1 hit. If he can get those walks under control, I think that would help him go a little bit deeper into games. He did throw 57 pitches, which is his high as a Ranger, which was nice to see, but only 33 of those were strikes. I would have liked him to be more in the strike zone. The Rangers did end up winning this game 2-1. They beat the vaunted Lance Lynn, got 1 earned run off of him, 2 runs total, 6 hits and 2 walks, 5 strikeouts for Lynn in 5 1/3 innings. I was a little puzzled that he didn't go further. I was just actually very puzzled, actually. Tony La Russa was not in this game because he was suspended. Because, of course, a White Sox pitcher threw at Shohei Ohtani, which, how dare you? How dare you even think about coming close to injuring? His player is suspended for 3 games, his reliever, but he's appealing that. But the manager doesn't have an option to do that, so Saturday he was suspended for a game. Lance Lynn only threw 83 pitches in this one, 55 strikes, which is not his normal rate. Normally he'll throw a crap ton of pitches because he's a big boy who has a lot of throws a lot of fastballs, so it's easier on his arm, I believe. And you know, he's able to pitch very deep into games. I don't think he's been hurt lately. He's been hurt earlier in the season, but he's a guy who is an absolute total workhorse. He's got a 2.47 ERA on the season, also has a 2-year contract extension. There was some talk about maybe the Rangers bringing him back, I believe after this year, before the extension was signed. Lance Lynn loved his time in Texas, spent a lot of time mentoring the young pitchers in the bullpen, and, you know, just loved the way that Texas treated him. They didn't trade him towards the end of the season because he said he wanted to stay in one place. So the Rangers honored that request. And I thought that was really cool of them. But from 2019 to 2020, he was the Rangers' best pitcher. Had 2 top 10 Cy Young finishes, probably should have both been top 5, but, you know, I'm being picky. This year he's pitched 146 innings. Maybe they're just trying to be careful with him going into the playoffs. He's got 166 strikeouts this year. Just been really stinking solid, really stinking solid. That is in under 150 innings pitched. Loved what I'm seeing for him this year. Love that he's succeeding with this young team. He is being the ace, the grandpa at 34. So still a lot of years going ahead for him. Also, I love that he is a switch hitter. I love that that is a thing for a guy who is listed at 6'5", 270 and has been a pitcher his entire career. I love when pitchers are switch hitters. It's like, why are you switch hitting? There's literally no point to this, but, you know, good on him. Garrett Crochet came in, pitched, finished off that 6th inning for him. Did not allow any walks, didn't strike anybody out, but that's fine. Michael Kopech came in, and gosh, his stuff is just absolutely nasty. He struck out a couple of Rangers, so did Craig Kimbrell, because his stuff is also equally nasty, but it didn't matter because the Rangers won 2-1 in a weird game. Derek Anderson came in, got his first major league win. That was fun. Good for him. Spencer Patton came in, got his 10th hole of the season. Wild. Dennis Santana walked a couple. That was fine. Joe Barlow comes in to close it out. Kitsa took a couple of strikeouts, has a 146 ERA on the season. Love to see that. Love that for him. My only small concern with him was I wanted him to get more strikeouts, but, you know, there he did. He said, all right, take that. I'll get a couple strikeouts. He also got a strikeout in his inning on the 17th against the White Sox. So there we go. Three strikeouts in his last two innings pitched, and no hits in that span. No hits in his last three innings pitched, actually, and only one walk in that span. So not a lot of base runners. The guy has been really stinking solid. Has a zero ERA in his last seven games. That is 6 1/3 innings pitched. Only three hits allowed, two walks, and has struck out four. Love to see it. Absolutely love to see it. This guy has been nails this year, and he's going to be nails at the back end of this pen for years to come. So that is a very exciting development from the season. And lastly, let's look a little bit at the Sunday game. Jordan Lyles starting again. He's going to be starting 3 2/3 innings. He looked back like himself. The last couple of starts, he looked really, really solid. Got to give him that credit. But 8 hits, 5 earned runs. That was all the runs total. Only struck out, did strike out 3 3/2 innings, allowed a home run, 3 walks. Yeah, did not look super great. Santana came in to close off the fourth inning because he couldn't get out of it. Mike Foltynewicz came in through 3 innings, didn't allow a home run, but did walk a couple, did allow a couple of hits and allowed a couple of runs. Josh Forrest and Brett Martin finished it off. But by that time, the Rangers were not coming back at that point. But some other newsy bits before we go, that I got so caught up talking about Willie Calhoun, because of course I did. I just forgot to mention him until now. Kohei Arihara was DFA'd to bring back Mike Foltynewicz, make room on the 40-man roster, which I thought was a little curious because I thought we'd see the end of Mike Foltynewicz, but I guess this just means they were done with Arihara for next season. He did sign a 2-year deal with, I believe, $3 million on the table for next season. So obviously he's not going to be a part of that rotation. So the podcast I did a few weeks ago talking about what is this rotation going to look like next year? Already just record timing for being out of date, I think less than a week later. But to be fair, as recently as I believe Thursday, Chris Wood was saying, yeah, Kohei Arihara is in our plans for next year in this rotation. Looks like that was a lie. So that's fine. It opens up another spot for the Rangers to go and make one of those signings, like we talked about on Friday. One of those guys to hope to be the next Lance Lynn or Kyle Gibson or Mike Minor to a lesser degree. But also Matt Bush been sent to AAA Round Rock on a rehab assignment effective. I believe this was a few days ago. He's been on the IL since April 8th with right elbow flexor strain. Scheduled to make his first appearance on Monday. So today, I believe this news was from yesterday or from Saturday. John Blake. Anyway, he hasn't pitched just yet, so we'll see how he looks today, Monday night. Very excited for him. I also thought his season and, you know, possibly his major league career were done after he suffered that injury earlier this year. But he's making a comeback, and maybe he'll get in the Rangers pen for a couple of appearances. That'll be good for him. Maybe they give him a look for next year. Not really sure what that'll look like, but who knows? Apparently there's a lot of roster spots up for grabs. And, you know, even when I think that I know what the heck this team is going to do, clearly, I do not. The Rangers start a 4-game series with the Yankees this week. I'm going to try and do a crossover episode with Stace of Locked On Yankees. Talk about our large adult son, Joey Gallo, who has been crushing it the last few games, but also might miss tonight's game with a neck strain came out of Sunday's game, I believe. It might be a couple games before we see him, but we got 3 games in New York. Hopefully we can see our large adult son, Joey Gallo. And if not, then that is him being considerate to us as people who still love and support him, assuming that you do. If not, then feel free to just leave. But if he doesn't play, I will believe that it is specifically for us, for our mental and emotional well-beings, not being able to yet process him playing in a game where the Rangers are involved and he is not on the Rangers team. So if so, speedy recovery to you, Joey Gallo. If you're just doing this because you don't want to hurt our feelings, that is very kind of you, and you will forever be our Joey Gallo king. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.